You bully right-living people, taking bribes right and left, kicking the poor when they're down. Justice is a lost cause. Evil is epidemic. Decent people throw their hands up. Protest and rebuke, useless, a waste of breath. Seek good and not evil and live. You talk about God, the God of the angel armies, being your best friend. Well, live like it and maybe it'll happen. Hate evil and love good. Then work it out in the public square. Maybe God, the God of the angel armies, will notice your remnant and be gracious. Now again, my master's message. God, God of the angel armies, go out into the streets and lament loudly. Fill the malls and shops with cries of doom. Weep loudly. Not me. Not us. Not now. Empty offices, stores, factories, workplaces. Enlist everyone in the general lament. I want to hear it loud and clear when I make my visit. God's decree. Time to face hard reality, not fantasy. Woe to you all, of you who want God's judgment day. Why would you want to see God, want him to come? When God comes, it will be bad news before it's good news. The worst of times, not the best of times. Here's what it's like. A man runs from a lion right into the jaws of a bear. A woman goes home after a hard day's work and is raped by a neighbor. At God's coming, we will face hard reality. Not fantasy. A black cloud with no silver lining. There's more to this. I can't stand your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion, projects, your pretentious slogans. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. When was the last time you sang to me? Do you know what I want? I want justice, oceans of it. You want your heart to break like his does? You don't know the meaning. We can't comprehend. I want fairness, rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all I want. Didn't you, dear family of Israel, worship me faithfully for 40 years in the wilderness, bringing the sacrifices and offerings I commanded? How is it you stoop to dragging gimrack statues of your so-called rulers around, hauling the cheap images of your star gods here and there? Since you like them so much, you can take them with you when I drive you into exile beyond Damascus. God's message, God of the angel armies, we need him to cover us. Cover us. Because tonight, that truth is all we got left. You want God to come back? You ready for that? I'm scared. My heart breaks because I'm starting to get a glimpse of understanding of how his heart breaks. We were sent here for a reason, church. If you're not in this room tonight and you don't know God, shut your ears off for a second. Listen to me, church. This building was built for a reason. People's faces that I'm looking at right now, I've seen since the day I was born. The ones that were before me, they came here for a reason. Are we ready for God to come back? Have we done what it is he's asked us to do? Are we doing it? I know we got nice programs. We got bubble rooms. We got a gymnasium. We got kids ministries. We got TV cameras. We got screens. We got lights. We got outreach programs. Those are all great. But reality is, we didn't necessarily come here to provide that. We didn't get saved to do that. We got saved, we enlisted in God's army, and we were given a directive. One, to communicate an opportunity for others to experience what God did for us. That was it. Period. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling out. I know that's what you want too. But the reality is that we're asking God to come back and we're rejoicing for his return. It's not, that's a sad thing. Because not everybody's rejoicing for that. Not everybody's going where we're going. God's weeping and crying for us to deliver the truth to a generation that doesn't have it. He's crying for us to let go of our programs. To let go of how we feel about this song, or we don't like this, or I can't believe they did this. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go over there. I'm not going to be a part of this ministry. I'm going to be a part of that ministry. I can't stand the way that person talks to me. Look at how they look at me. What the heck, man? What have you left me with? What have you left yourself with? I sit on this front pew every Sunday alone. Alone. Without anybody that I went to school with. Without anybody that I grew up with in this church. A few. And it's not because they moved out of state, because they're gone, going to church somewhere else, loving God elsewhere. The programs didn't work. It didn't make it happen. Roll Rangers failed. Youth group failed. Dark rooms and loud music failed. Camps failed. Camp meeting. What a disaster. And we want God to come back? His heart's breaking for people to receive the opportunity to receive what you got. And our mission is to tell people about it. It's to deliver that message so that they can have an experience with Christ that creates for them the opportunity to have eternity. And all we've done is taken a Bible and slammed it over people's head and said, stop being this, stop being that, and then you'll have Christ. What? How does that even work? That's not how it works. You've got to have an experience with Christ in order to get rid of the junk that you have. You can't tell a homosexual, stop being homosexual, then you can be a Christian. That doesn't make any sense. They finally found something that makes them what they think is happy. So there's no point in me getting up here and going, I want you all to know that I'm against homosexuality. Cheer! Yeah! Louis, we know where he stands now. Who cares? It's not about my stance, my position on what, whether or not that's right or wrong. That's God's gift to heal that. That's not my job. It's not your job. The reality is, even if you wanted it, you failed at it. I failed at it. Every time we try to do that, we turn another generation off because you're trying to fix a problem you don't have the capability or tools to fix. Right? It's a rebuke, yes, but not a, you know, like mean one. It's just the reality of what it is. And truth never really hurts. It may be a little bit shocking, and it may be a little bit like, let me off the hook. But here's the reality of the matter, that when you receive truth, it changes you. When you decide to receive what God has for you, When you decide to walk in what he's asked you to do, thousands are saved. Hundreds of thousands are delivered. People's sins aren't your concern. That's why God died. If we didn't need him to die, then I would do it for them because I can't, my heart breaks for my friends, for the lost. It breaks, but Here's the thing, I can't do anything about it. So I'm going to spend all my time yelling at them about what they're doing and not doing. What's the difference? I can't do anything about it anyway. Here's what I can do. I can deliver them a humble, let me take off my big old jacket, my shiny shoes, all my scripture knowledge, my theological study, my degree from XYZ Christian University, my 35 years in ministry. I've seen that. I've seen this. Relax with it, because honestly, it doesn't really matter. You've got history. That's good. Knowledge is good. Wisdom is important. But all that wisdom and all that knowledge isn't going to deliver one homosexual. Isn't going to deliver one addict. Isn't going to deliver one person struggling with depression. Isn't going to deliver one person that's possessed by demons. It's not going to do anything. So take your focus off of trying to change how people live their lives. Get over the fact that they don't act like you, they don't look like you, that they don't believe in what you believe in, that they don't vote for the same person you vote for. We've created an opportunity for the church to be a venue for thousands to be saved. Look at this room. It's huge. We've got the facilities. We've got all these wonderful people here to deliver the message. It's just that we're missing the point. We're missing the opportunity to see this place packed. You want addicts in this room? I've been in this room when people shout. When somebody gets up here, I've been in this room when camp meeting was going on, and from behind that door over there, out walks a preacher in his $5,000 suit and ostrich leather shoes and kisses every face on the front aisle and struts back and forth 45 minutes after worship's even started, doing who knows what in the back, I guess preparing. I'll tell you what they're doing. I was back there. Nothing. Not everybody, but mostly nothing. And then they teach and preach a message that creates what makes you feel good. The already saved. To get you to stay in church. Here's the thinking. What can I say to a congregation this morning or tonight, whatever the sermon is, that will create for them a good feeling about where they belong as far as church is concerned? That will make them go, you know what? Man, I think just like that pastor. He sounds just like me. So you know what? I'll come to church here. I'll call that my church. So, and we do that because out of desperation, whether ministers started out in the right track or not, but they get desperate. People get desperate. It's a human factor. And all of a sudden, years later, you're stuck in the cycle of just people-pleasing preaching, of saying, hey, look, you know, man, let's shout down about how people aren't living right and kids are doing this and people are doing that. It just makes you feel good. It just makes me feel good because I did it. I shouted down too. I'm like, man, that's good. That's right. People aren't doing right. Well, so what? Of course they're not. So let me ask you, you ready for addicts to walk into this room? You ready for a revival? You ready for God to come back? Because I'm telling you what, a couple weeks ago, let's be real. This is where I had my diaper changed in building number one. It scares the mess out of me to talk to most of you. 30 years this year for me that I've been on this earth. I've adorned this platform like twice. It's a big deal. So don't hate me because I'm talking about the truth. And forgive me if I sound a little cynical or angry or frustrated. But it is what it is. I am what I am. I could have left. I think to myself often, I should have left. I tried a couple times. But the reality is that I was given a gift of an experience with God that created for me the understanding that I can't change things from the outside in. I have to change things from the inside out. That came from you. Everybody in here. But here's where we have to go. Here's what we have to do. We have to take this opportunity tonight to just ask for forgiveness about the idea that we've become wolves in sheep's clothing. We've sat in church so long that what we originally started out to do in mercy, in grace, in justice, in peace, in love, when all you baby boomers out there were loving and peacing, looking like long-haired hippies and not caring about anything but you and everybody do your thing, you started out in the right place, but we stayed so long in the same spot, we turned into the same exact thing we were trying to prevent. We became the wolves. Instead of protecting what God gave us to give, we went out and started looking to destroy anything that opposed it. That's not our job. We're not mercenaries. God called us to be lambs, not wolves. It's not my job to be a political activist. It's not my job to go out into the streets and let everybody know I don't agree with homosexuality. That's not my job, and it's not yours. Because unless you provide an opportunity for that person to understand that only God can give them what it is that I have, then you're just ruining good times for them. Leave them alone. So the opportunity that we have is to get back to what it is God called us to do in the first place. It's to present the experience of God. It's to present the opportunity for your heart to be changed. Unbeliever, listen to me. Broken-hearted person, listen to me. Is it dripping? I never had to have a preacher rag before. Usually I just wipe it on my sleeve. I'm just a maintenance man. We have to present the opportunity. That is what we're called to do. Do that. Please, please. I'm just begging you. Like, excuse me while I cry for my friends. Excuse me while I cry for Troy's family tonight as they weep losing their father and their uncle and their brother and their dad. What do we go say to them? We go tell them, you better stop doing what you're doing or you're going to go to hell. Or do we say, I love you. I'm so sorry you lost your dad. I'm so sorry you lost your brother, your cousin, whatever. I pray that you have an opportunity with God to experience what he has to offer. It's my prayer for you. It changed my life. Because I can show you a picture. Tommy Tenzo, if you were here a couple weeks ago, he said it.
He stole my message, kind of.
I can show you my picture of what God is doing and what God has done in my life. Show some of those pictures. This last year, I went and visited Mount Rainier in Washington. Just under 15,000 feet, and I climbed to the top. And it was amazing. Can you show the pictures? That's it. It doesn't look very big from down here, but it's huge. If you were standing on that grass right there, it took my breath away. It literally made me gasp. That literally made me fear like I've never feared before in my life. Just to the left of that is nothing. I've never been so close to God. It was great. I'm not crying for anything else right now. That was awesome. That experience was so cool. Like for me as a Christian, I'm like, God, you're great. Look at that cloud. It literally dropped out and made a little mushroom. Every time I walked out of my tent, I started crying and people were like, what is wrong with that dude? I'm walking up the side of a mountain trying not to fall down a bottomless crevasse and I'm like crying. I'm like, this isn't helping me right now. I'm going to die, God. Aren't those amazing? But the reality is that photograph doesn't make you weep like it makes me weep. That photograph didn't change you like it changed me. It didn't create for me a desire for God and an understanding of how huge He is like it did for me, because you weren't there. So when I came back, all I did, I called it. I'm like, Adrian, you got to come back with me. You got to come back. You got to do it. It's crazy. Remember the day you got saved? Remember the day you got saved and you ran home to mom? And you're like, oh my gosh, Tina, this is crazy. That's all you're called to do. That's all He wants from you. That's all He ever asked you to do. He didn't ask you on a mission to tell people they're living wrong. They already know. They were made by Him. We were created by God. It's called a soul. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's our maker. You think He needs us to communicate that He's who the one who created them? The Bible tells us that. They know their sin. So we waste our time trying to go around beating people. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. If you don't act like this, you can't be a part of here. Oh, I'd go to church there, but you know what? Man, the music just doesn't really speak to me, and they got people that sit on the front row that look like this, and, you know, these people are too stuffy, or they're too loose. I mean, give me a break, man. Imagine if everybody that went to church on the North Coast walked into the Sunday morning service with your family, with your kids, with your 2.3 kids, you know, your average salary, your car loan, all the stuff that comes along with just being normal human beings that are trying to be good, trying to have a Sunday morning of cultural relevance and social acceptance because you fit the mold of what Church on the North Coast has to offer. And the week before, you were all shouting about the idea of having addicts on the front row, prostitutes in the back, homosexuals over there, demon-possessed right here. Your Sunday morning just got blown to smithereens. You still staying? I sat on that front row and watched an entire church squirm like schoolgirls at the sight of a homosexual couple in church. Oh my gosh. And being obvious about it. What do you expect sin to look like? Quiet? What do you expect sin to look like? Unoffensive? Just last week, we were asking for it. We're asking for God to come back. We're asking there to be change. We're wanting all this revival. We're wanting newness. It comes with a price, and it's not that expensive. It's just giving up your silly little Sunday morning experience that you've made for yourself so you can go out to eat afterwards and feel good about the service, shake the hands of the people you like, and then go back home. Man, look, I didn't sleep for like the whole week, and last night, this is my crib, my baby crib, not my crib, like crib. You're my parents. You raised me. I don't have the right to say what I'm saying, but God does, and He did. Amos 5 said it for me. I argued with Mary in the car the other day, almost to the point of fighting, because I'm like, I'm just mad. And she's like, settle down. What is wrong with you? You can't go to church and talk like that. I'm like, God better come up with something to say then, because I'm going off. And then Amos 5 plopped in my lap, and I'm like, yeah, there you go. Read that. I got nothing to say. Didn't have to. But that's how God is. Because He already died. He already rose. He already paid the price. What's the words? He won the war? What were you singing? I don't remember the words. He won the victory. Our job is simply to communicate the fact that victory's won. It's so easy. But we've discluded and we've excluded a generation of people. I'm not talking about 18 to 25 year olds. Get that out of your mind right now. You 50 to 60, 70, whatever age you are that generation. If you're alive on this planet, you're a generation. So don't shout me down because you're like, yeah, go preach to the young people. You. I know just as many 50-year-old addicted people as I do 25-year-old addicted people. I probably know more alcoholic 40-year-olds than I know 20-year-olds. Us. It's amazing that God reveals this type of stuff when and how he does it. Because the idea of what this is like, oh my gosh, this is revolutionary. Except it's not. It was the original plan to begin with. And we weep for our sons and daughters who don't go to church anymore, who don't have a relationship with Christ. We weep for our family members who we just want God, please touch them. And we should. And then the first time we see them, we're screaming at them about what they're not doing in order to get to where it is we are. Even if you convict them to the point where they're like, you know what? Fine, I will. It's not a true give up. It's not a true step into God moment anyway. It's just that I'll pacify you. I'll try really hard. It's flesh. It's what we do too. God, I'm going to get rid of this. So I put sticky notes on my mirror every single morning. So when I wake up, I'm going to have a positive day. Today's a good day. I'm a good person. God's going to move my life. I read it over and over. I mean, it's good. Don't get me wrong. I've done the sticky notes too. It's discipline. Be disciplined. But the reality is the sticky note's not going to save you. The reality is that you're abusing your relationships with friends and family isn't going to save them. Just let them be them. God doesn't care. Why should you? Why should we? He wants their hearts. The residual effect of having a relationship with Christ is your actions, is your lifestyle. It's changed from the inside out. I'm so repetitive because I feel like I have to continue to drill this. Continue to drill it. And the reality is you do have to drill it. Every single morning when you wake up, you have to have a new experience with God. Doesn't matter if you've been in this church, you've been saved for 30 years. Doesn't matter if you don't know God yet. If you want to know what I know, if you want to feel what I felt when I was at the top of Mount Rainier, you've got to go there. I can only describe it and give you my testimony so many times. And it's essentially worthless to a certain extent. Might get you excited for the moment. But until you buy that plane ticket, get that gear organized, get the boots on, put your coat on, feel negative degree temperatures of freezingness, until you experience altitude sickness, until your fingers go numb, you're so cold, and you're like, what am I doing here? And then you get to the top and you see the earth bend, and you're like, holy cow. And then God happens, and you're like, what was everybody talking about? I know it happened for a lot of people in here. I know it has. Do the people you love a favor and beg them to have an experience with God. Not to change the way they live their lives, because that's not good. You can't do it. God will take care of that. We had two things that we were called to do. Who knows what they are? We were to love God and love other people. That's my job. I'm good at it. I'm getting better at it every day. That's why I'm friends with people that you don't think I should be friends with. I'm really friends with them. Not when I happen to see them, I'm nice to them. I'm really friends with them. I take time out of my day to communicate with them. I take weekends away from my family to be with them. I've done a lot of different, made a lot of different attempts, and I was in the wrong a lot of times. I tried to be just like them. I didn't know how to communicate it. I didn't know how to communicate that I'll never leave you. They're not CDs. When I was a kid in youth group, I broke CDs and bought them like every week. Wednesday broke them, Saturday bought them. Wednesday broke them, Saturday. Are people just CDs to you? I'm a Christian now. We can't be friends. Separate myself. There's a time for that. There's a time for that. For sure. God called me right now. I was like, Lou, I need you up in the woods for a good week. I got something to say to you. All right. Peace out. You'll see me when you see me. I'll be back when I'm allowed. So yeah, that's scripture. But the reality is when I come back renewed, refreshed, restored, I'm back to work. I'm back to getting to doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Given the opportunity for that person, that individual, anybody that I come in contact with, to have an experience with God that will forever change their lives. And then remind them that if you don't have the same experience every single day, it's pointless. Because where you sit right now, not most of you Thursday night people, Wednesday night people, but reality is most of the people that are sitting here right now won't be here next year. Won't be here the year after that. The 30 years that I've been here, I've seen so many people come and go, it's ridiculous. And I'm not talking about moving away again. I'm not talking about going to a different church. I'm talking about losing what was an amazing experience. How do you go to Mount Rainier and then forget about it? Because that's reality. That's humanity. If you don't have an experience with God every single moment of every single day, you lose it. Love, distance does not make the heart grow fonder. Sorry. It's not the case. It may make you desire it for a little while, but let a month go by. Let 2 months go by. Let 3 months go by. Let a year go by. You know where you end up? Lost again. Looking like you've never even been to the top. You, I asked, man, remember when we were, man, 19 and we were praying so hard? I prayed for you in building 4. Remember? I was going crazy. I was out of control and being rude, and Greg was trying to tell me quiet. I was like, no, it's the Holy Spirit. But either way, I mean, we had a crazy experience. God was moving. Where are those people tonight? Where's Fresh Fire? Where are they at? Dark rooms and loud music, don't do it! Kids church isn't gonna do it! If we would just focus our efforts on delivering the message of what God has for our generation, we would actually be able to get something accomplished and start moving forward. Instead of reverting back to old tactics every 5 years, every 10 years. This ain't nothing but 1994 all over again. 1982 all over again. 1975 all over again, and so on and so forth. Because the moment we begin to remove ourselves from the original plan of what God has for us, we remove ourselves from truth. We remove ourselves from Christ. And then we got to take a bunch of effort to get back to where we were. You know how hard it is to climb to the top of Mount Rainier? It was hard. You know how hard it is to convince somebody of a photograph? It's impossible. The only way it's easy is if that person hears a message from us and they want to. I don't know that you've ever met somebody and they said to you, tell me a lie, that's what I want to hear. No, they say, tell me truth, that's what I want. Be honest with me. Just be honest with me. I'd rather it hurt me, because truth never hurts. Truth may shock you and it may put you in your place, but it ultimately never does any wrong. Truth is perfect. So no matter what, how you split it, no matter what way you split it, no matter what context you're talking about it in, when you deliver truth, you deliver reality, you deliver God. So your lost daughter, your lost son, sibling, husband, wife, relative, person you haven't met yet, wants truth. The reality is we can't remember how to give it to them. And if you haven't had it yet, it's the best thing ever. Ever. It makes everything make sense. It puts everything back together. It eliminates every issue. It's a magic drug. It's God. It's uncomprehendable. It's inconceivable. It's undeniable. Those of you who have been to the top of that mountain know what I'm talking about. You're feeling me. Teenagers, you feel me when I tell you that truth is what you want. I don't have to convince you of that. That's how you're wired. It's how we're made. We're made to want truth. We have a responsibility to give it to a young generation, to an older generation, to the oldest generation. Proverbs 10:19 says, the more talk, the less truth. How many messages have I sat in where we've joked about a long-winded preacher? Ugh. What do you got to say for 2.5 hours? What could you say in 2.5 hours? I don't know. Less truth? Acts 3:19. Now it's time to change your ways. Turn to face God so he can wipe away your sins. Pour out showers of blessing to refresh you. Breathe with me. I make Emma do this all the time. When she gets out of control, I'm like, stop. Take a deep breath. Do it. Now it's time to change your ways. Turn to face God so he can wipe away your sins. Pour out showers of blessing to refresh you. Truth is refreshing. Because as quickly as it startles you, it refreshes you. As quickly as it puts you in your place, it reinvigorates you. It's the miracle drug. It's the it. That's the good news, man. Lady, it's the good news. It's awesome that we have an opportunity to deliver truth again as a church, as a people. It's awesome that you get a chance to hear it tonight. I humble myself. I don't know what's going to happen when I die. I'm convinced I do. I have faith that I know. I put everything I got on an eternity. But I humbly say to you, I'm as human as you are. And if you want to talk about eternity, if you want to talk about it, I won't yell at you with my scripture knowledge. I won't beat you up with theology because it doesn't mean anything to you anyway. I know. It doesn't mean anything to me either. I'll listen to you, not with here's what we do. I want to listen to you. I'll listen to you. Go ahead. This is the stance of somebody who's not listening. So if you didn't know, which you probably do, when somebody does this to me, and maybe even more subtle, or down. Some people do the down. I'm instantaneously done. I'm not arguing with you. I have nothing to argue. I don't have anything to give. I don't have a perspective worth hearing. I just don't. So when I tell you I'll listen to you, I will listen to you. If there's not one other person that you ever meet in your life, call me. My number is on our website. I will literally listen to you. I appreciate perspective. I appreciate questions. I appreciate sharing. It changes me. It molds me. I'm a human. I like hearing about different perspectives. You know why? Because it teaches me how better to communicate what God has to give to you. It teaches me how to sit down with somebody who believes nothing I believe in fact, hates it. Now I can better serve you. So thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate the perspective. I really, really, really do. And you should too. Because it's not my job to convince you otherwise. It's God's gift. It's the best gift ever. And only he can give it. Psalms 51. To to the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know your wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Go back to verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. In the hidden part, you will find what it is that you're supposed to be doing. In the hidden part, you will find the lifestyle that you're supposed to have. In the hidden part, you will be delivered of addiction. In the hidden part, you will be delivered of depression. In the hidden part, you will be delivered of pain, of suffering, of doubt. Go back to 8. Not in our part, in the hidden part between you and God. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. The Bible's so good at saying what needs to be said. The message is give up. Stop trying. The moment you step into a life of... I told my friend the other day, we were going back on Facebook and forth on a stupid post that he put on there. Well, it wasn't stupid. It was his heart crying. I had to respond to it because I'm like, hey, come on. Like, usually I don't even get into Facebook fighting because it's like enough Facebook gangsters out there. So I'll leave it to them. But I had to respond to this one because I felt like the message needed to be communicated. And I'm like, look, man, if I could go back in time and I could change the designated name for Christians, Christ followers, I change it to trusters. Like, when people say, what do you believe in? I'm a truster. Trust is when God meets you and picks you up and takes you to where you need to be. Confessing with your heart or your mouth and believing in your heart is trusting God. And it's the first step towards having an experience in a life that means something. So the moment you trust him with his ability to change hearts and to find lost, to heal addicts, to heal the depressed, is the moment you will have a relationship with Christ that makes sense for the first time ever. It makes sense to me now because I trust him. I'm not stressed out about trying to make sure my friends get to church. I'm not stressed out about trying to make my wife do this or my husband do that. or save my homosexual friend. Like, wait, that's not my gig. My job is clear. Our job is clear, okay? Love them with all you got. Love each other with all you got. That's it. That's all you got to do. But you got to have that experience every single day. If you're sitting there right now and you're wondering, how do I have this experience? It's super easy. Ask him for it. All the hard work is done. How do I get rid of this weight that just sits with me everywhere I go? I've tried it numbers of different times. I've tried to go to church. I've tried to change this. I've tried to stop doing this. I've tried to stop drinking. I've tried to stop trying to stop. And just ask him. He'll take care of that. And then when you wake up tomorrow, ask him again. You wake up the next day, ask him again. And the next day, again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And one day it's over. Thank God. And then you're with him. You got to have it every single day, every single moment. Doesn't matter if you've been saved forever or tonight's the night. Ask him right now. Bow your heads. Ask him. God, enter into my life right now. I give up. I'm done. Dude with the long hair and bad outfit convinced me that the only way that I'm going to understand what it is everybody's been screaming at me forever about is if you give it to me. I want it. Tell him right now, I want it. I want what it is. Don't ask me what it is. I don't know what's in the package. Ask him. He'll show you. Ask him right now. He's going to reveal it to you right now. God, touch hearts tonight. Change hearts. Retrain us. We offer up our lives to you. We say to you, God, forgive us for attempting to give away something we have no business signing our name to. Forgive us for trying to jump into the party last second and deliver a gift. Oh, it's from me too. No, it's not. Forgive us. Forgive me, God. Jesus, save me. I don't know what else to do with my addiction. I don't know what else to do with my pain. I don't know what else to do with the realities of life that make me feel so depressed. I just want to finish it now. I don't know what else to do. Heal me. Give me your mercy. Give me your gift of love and grace and peace and joy. Create in me a new heart. I give up. I'm done. I love you. You're my king. I follow you. Worship him.
Let this be a sacrifice. Let me dedicate my life.
Come and worship him. Come experience him. Come up out of your seats and come meet God. Stay in your seats. Meet God. Meet him.
Let me dedicate my life to worship him. Let this be a sacrifice. Let me dedicate my life to worship him.
Can you give him 10 more minutes? 5 more minutes? Can you tell him how thankful you are for changing your life? Can you worship him one more time? Can you give him just a little bit more? Has he done enough for you that you would give him just a few more minutes of worship and adoration? Tell him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
I'm
That's it. It's what we were made for. It's so simple. Sing it to him. Confess that. That's crazy. Rejoice, church. Rejoice, sinner. Rejoice. That's all that's left now. Truth is refreshing. It's not depressing. It takes a few minutes and then back on track. Imagine having truth every single day. You wake up and you're like, dang, I look good. It's like going to the gym for the year. Like, man, I'm never going to be in shape. I'm never going to look like the magazines. I'm never going to sound like pastor. I'm never going to look like that guy that worships his guts out every single Sunday. Keep going to the gym. I promise. You'll look just like him. You have a dream body with Jesus. Because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it happens. Take the experience you've had tonight and have it again tomorrow. Have it again the next day. Come to church on Sunday and have it again on Sunday. Have it again on Monday. And beg people to experience an experience with God. And stop getting your butt in the way. Not your butt, your butt. You know the part where you go, Jesus loves you, but. You know what I'm saying? So I get to say what? Get your big butt out of the way. Let God be God. And you do your job. And watch people change. Watch a city roll over in its grave. Literally. Watch a state rise up. Watch a nation become refreshed and renewed. And again, designated for what it was founded on. To bring freedom in Christ. We won't have to convince our politicians not to pass laws we don't agree with. Because our politicians will be Christians. They'll be trusters. That's what happens when you communicate truth. That's what happens when you live in truth. Now I'm a long-winded preacher. But it's so good that it's like you just want to keep saying it. Because truth refreshes, man. It makes me feel good. It's like, I can't even remember how I felt a couple days ago. I'm sure it was crappy, but right now I feel amazing. That's what truth does. It makes you forget yesterday. It makes you forget the divorce. It makes you forget the drug addiction. It makes you forget everything. Because it eliminates it. It annuls it. It doesn't exist anymore. It's so good. It's amazing. It's crazy that we don't do this more often. Just preach this. Bro, I mean, it's crazy. It's so crazy. God bless you. And man, just go out. All you guys out there, man, love people. Right? Love people. Bring peace to people. Enjoy life. Enjoy your neighbors. Enjoy your disobedient kids. Enjoy your lost spouse. Enjoy everything God has to offer you. Let him work on them. He will. He will. I promise you. You do what you're supposed to do, and I promise you, he'll do what he said he would do. Because he doesn't break promises. I've been to that mountain. I've seen it with my own two eyes. You can tell me all you want. It's not true. Honestly, I don't care. Because I've seen it. And I know a bunch of you in here have seen it too. God's army. You ready to be back to God's army? Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Man, All right. I love you. I love you guys so much. I love being here so much. But I'm gone. Gone. If you're coming, let's roll. If not, it's all good. I don't really care. Trust me when I tell you, I can go find a position that allows me to deliver truth. You gonna let me deliver it? You gonna deliver it? It's on, man. It's on. Love people. Leave here tonight refreshed, restored, and energized. Amen. On your way out, give your gift or offering and tithe. There'll be ushers at the door. Bless the house of God.